All right. It's my privilege today to introduce your speaker, Dr. Paul Kim. As Pastor Kyle is in a conference in North Carolina today, he and Caroline are there. We've prayed for him, and we hope he's having a great time. But Dr. Kim has come. He's a long-time church planter. He is right now serving as pastor emeritus at the Antioch Baptist Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where he has served for over 44 years. His church has planted more than 40 churches worldwide, and 13 of those churches are still remain associated with Antioch Baptist Church. The others have become independent or are functioning under their own names. He served in the Southern Baptist Convention. He has served most recently as a trustee of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary for 10 years. He was the Baptist Convention of New England's convention president from 2006 to 2008. He also serves with the national, he's the national chaplain for the Korean War Veterans Association and the Chosen Few Ministries. He served on the International Mission Board as a trustee from 1996 to 2006. So we are privileged to have Dr. Paul Kim come and share a message with us this morning. Please give him an Island Pond welcome.
Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Mothers are the very special people who changed the world, who changed the American history. Without the mothers, no one would be here. So it is the mothers that are the most important person, you know, making the family history, making history of this country. And we are so grateful how you love the Lord, how you serve your family and the caring, loving, as the children has already testified. See, the children tell the truth. They're very honest. They tell exactly how they feel about their mother. So you know that how grateful it is. You know, I just was driving here, this area. I realized how this community is different from where I come from in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Such a peaceful, very quiet. And that reflected you, how you are so peaceful people. We are not like that in the back in the Boston area. It's a little kind of rough, not a college case, everywhere. We don't know where we're going. But you are building up the family in Christ. It's how sweet it is. I just walk in some classrooms and your Sunday school teachers, they've been here for a long time and how it's been. It's just so wonderful. It's a family in the life that you have. Talk about the family and the mother. I want to just briefly mention that the one mother, and back in the mother about General, Douglas MacArthur. I'm sure that you know who was General MacArthur, and how he became the man and the leader and changed the 20th century in the world history, because he had a mother. His mother had three boys, and the older one, and who was a Navy captain. And then the second one who died just only 4 years old by measles. And then the third and the youngest one is Douglas. So the mother really loved the children, but he doesn't want to have lose another son. So she really made a commitment. When Douglas, when he immediately West Point back in the 1898 and went to 99, he entered in as a cadet. His mother decided to move, living that her husband back in San Antonio, Texas, who later became a three-star general. But they moved there to the West Point and moved in an apartment right there next to the West Point. And she spent there 4 years. and spend the time watching her son make sure to study, not to be flunked at West Point. 4 years she was looking every time that hour of a study, make sure her son going to the library to study. So telescope. She saw the son, make sure you study. Well, she was kind of afraid because she doesn't want to lose another son. And she really wanted her son to be very successful. I'm sure the parents, the mothers, they all wanted the children to be happy and successful. That's just a, you know, his mother. And then sure enough, and his, you know, Douglas, who finished at the first in his class in 1903. And out of 93, he did much better the later General Ike. He did was bottom of his class. But that Douglas MacArthur, he was top in his class. So that kind of the mother's influence in the Douglas MacArthur, who changed that to the 20th century in the world. So that much how the mother is so important. I want to show that, you know, my mother and how the picture can show that in the screen. And when you said that my parents, they both became the Baptist, and that they were both be baptized. Briefly, they mentioned that my, you know, father. When I became a Christian back in the August 68, while I was in the U.S. Army serving, and then I came to follow in a home in Hilo, Hawaii. So a Baptist preacher shared the plan of salvation, and then he told me about what the cross means. So I accepted the Christ right there after 1 hour presentation. The first person I met in my house, that was my father. He was turned 65 years old. And I shared the gospel. And that Christmas Sunday, 68, he was baptized. And there, the church, later I was baptized. And then the next picture is my dear mother. I am who I am now because of God, the Lord himself, and then my dear mother. And when I was a pastor in Berkeley, California, my mother visited because I just had a two-year-old, my son. And she wanted to see her grandson in Berkeley, California. She visited to our home and a church. And one day she turned to me and said, "Son, how can I be baptized by you? What a privilege to be, baptized by her son." So I said, sure enough, it was not a Sunday. Just as she wanted to be baptized by her son. So I had the privilege to baptize her. That was the picture I was baptizing my mother. Just about 10 days ago, I had the privilege to baptize my grandson in Philadelphia Church. It is a wonderful thing of family life, how that the grandparents and a grandfather, what you do for your children is so precious. So I want to read that the scripture today, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. This is about the Mother's Day today. So the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, introduced about the birth of Samuel. So I want to read scripture and give you a little background. Then I want to be a speaker message to relevant from the text to you. So I want you to look at the verse. Is it on screen? My verse is on it? No? Or is that someone will work in the back there? Can you show that the scripture verse? No? Okay, I can read it. Okay, you can read the scripture verse. And the verse, First Samuel, in chapter 1. Can we all read that together from verse 25 and to 27? Can you read all together? the 26th to the 27th. Can you read all together? When you say the go, you can read all together? Okay. Are you ready? Okay, verse 26. So I wanted to point out to the here the verse that talk about the background about the Hannah. Hannah was a mother of a Samuel. And Hannah was one of the wives in those days, culture-wise. And then she married, but she didn't have a child. You know, in those culture, especially many years ago, you know, to marry without the baby is very difficult. Even Sarah was 9 years old, kind of have a baby. And you see that Rachel, you know, all the people, we just loving God, but we didn't have their own child. It's a very difficult time. The situation was like Hannah. The meaning Hannah was is a favor or the grace. But yet she did it. She have a fear of God. She knew God. She knows God. She trusts God. But yet she didn't have a child. So she was crying because of her. You know, her sister-in-law, they're just, you know, bullying her and teasing her. It's just very painful, very depressed. And she was crying. Where she can cry to? She was crying to God in prayer. She was praying to God one day, and she was there to praying, and the priest and watched her for long hours to pray. She was a drunk woman. So she said, what are you doing all these things? And she confessed that, because I'm suffering. I'm just struggling. I'm just tearful. I wanted to pray for my, the child that God has given to me. And so later, the Bible tells about what kind of a person the Hannah was. I want to point out that Hannah was an honest person. She was honest to God. And then at the first, 20, the Bible says, and it tells about the I am the woman. So in other words, after she had a baby, the name is Samuel, and then how God helped her to have a Samuel. And then she had to wait until he turned out to be age of 3 to 5 years old. And that's just how the time that the baby began to talk, 3 years to the 5, how cute it is, like a children. And then how that she now is ready to take her son, the Samuel, as she made a vow to God. If God gives me a son, I want to dedicate it. I want to give. I want to present it, my son, to the Lord's work. See, that is the beauty about the vow commitment. She promised to God. She kept the promise. That is kind of a person she was. And now she came back to the place and to the priest to tell the priest and to who she was. I am the woman. That she was honest. You know, oftentimes people make a vow. People say to something we will struggle. Something we have some accident that we have to die. So they pray to God, promise to God. But when they healed, when they be better, they don't keep that. They don't promise, keep the promise or to make a vow. That's a human nature. But yet something about the Hannah, she was honest. I am the woman. You know, the world today, we need the honest. The important things about the life, we have to be the honest person. See, that is the key of a society, be honest. And here that she was, I am the woman that whom I prayed, whom I cried to God. So that is the important things about how that the Hannah, that kind of a person that she was. You know, how that the mothers, they want to have their children growing up be honest, making the good friends. You know, today we have a lot of young people getting to the wayside, have not really keeping up. I've been working with college students for so many years. I've seen that a lot of the young people, they started to come out of a high school, they come to the college, the Harvard, MIT, all the schools, there are some of them and that they are smart. If they don't get around with the good Christian friends on campus, they drift away. Even they are smart enough, they don't make it the class first 2 years, and they have to transfer to another school. So important things about life is that whom you meet, whom you associate with, who are your peers, because the youth, they have a lot of pressure from fellow peers, and how they dressed up, how they what they wear, where to go. That's always have some, to want to be associated with, not be isolated, from their friends. They want to be close together. So that is what the young people wanted to be part. But the mom and the dad, they wanted the children to associate with the good, honest, good friend. So that was a moving, the town, moving the schools, etc. So we want to be honest. So here at Hannah, she was an honest person. I am. How do you see yourself? How do you evaluate yourself? How do you judge yourself? What kind of person you are? How do other people see you as a person you are? See, it is such a valuable thing. And someone noticed that you are a very honest person. It's something that we have a society want to have be focused on the honest and not the fake, not the deceiving. The Bible talks about it, how the God to whom we trust. It's important things. We are the God. He is honest. He wants us to be honest person, to be trustful, and to do work of God. So Hannah was the kind of person I am, by the grace of God, who we are. Through that your parents' influence, your parents' prayer, how our life be shaped, influenced as we are, even we called older. I reminded how the children's life and how important early child education. From age that young, as like a Samuel 3 to 5, that is beginning of a lifelong journey. And how the people become, then it's growing up the community, growing up the schools, how that the children's education is important. So as I walk into the church, I noticed that in the Sunday school, I was so impressed that so many classrooms you have. We don't own the building. We have just rented the hotel and a Sheraton Commander Hotel with Sunday like this hour. We have another campus in the Watertown and Redeemer Church. And I look in and said, I don't want to be envious anything because the Bible said don't be envious. So I just want to say praise God how you have a sacrifice giving and building up this church and the many people, community get together, worship God. Praise God, pray together. It is a wonderful to have a church building to worship together. That is what God wants us. God wants his people to worship. Even Exodus that tells that Moses would use God's instrument. But let my people go. So it is important things that we go and worship God. Where that our children today? Do you know where your children are after 10 p.m.? And we have so much today is internet things. You have so many things that today, so every teenager, they have cell phones. I was visiting at the Great Wall in China. How could I believe that was some 15, some years ago? Even though there was a great wall in China, people using cell phone. This is a different generation. When I went to school, even on the typewriter, there's no cell phone. We don't know what the cell phone was. So, you know, within the last half a century, everything had changed. But one thing we have to remember is honest. That is never changes. Only we pray to God, when we trust God, God keeps us. We have to be honest. So here, Hannah, she was an honest person. How much that she influenced in her son Samuel growing up, began to talk a little bit, and how the Samuel saw his mother for honest and loving and caring. How that your children saw you, and you know, see that my mother, such a children says, you know, today cook everything, take care of me. You know, as a mother is such a special. You know, the many things happen, but I want you to know the mothers, the rock, the cradle of how the children be shaped because of mothers. So important. So not only that Hannah was honest, but she was faithful to God. The honest person, they are faithful to God. Where is that the honesty come from? Because of relations to God, to Christ, it's honest, the coming from that the faithfulness to God. Where does the faith come from? The Romans chapter 10, 17 says, faith comes from hearing word of Christ. God himself is a truth, and God himself is faithful. All the generations, all that our time, that God is faithful. And as I've been in my church 44 years, I can testify God is faithful. Started our church with my family 5. You know, when I started the church when I was young, I'm still young. I do not get old. I'm so young. But I see that how the people understand what church is. When I started college, you know, students ministry with my wife, and focus on Bible on campus. It does not matter what school we are. We have to continue to be faithful to God, faithful to truth of God's word that can change the hearts of people, can change the community, can change the family, can change everything. Be faithful to God. If you look at the Hebrew chapter 11, we call it the faith chapter. So the faith, what matter? The foundation, faith, love, and hope. Greatest all is love. But yet, we have to begin with faith. So when you come to know, you know, the church, you know, come to know Christ because of God is faithful. All through the years, you're looking at something God has not kept that. God has even promised that he's coming back. He restored his kingdom, and he will take his church out of this world to be with him, spend eternity. That is what the promise that we have a faith in God. God is faithful. That is. And I see that the one at John Wesley's mother, she must have been so faithful. She had 19 children. Now, if we have 2 or 3 children, we are overwhelmed. Too many children these days in the culture. And she had her own 19 children. 15th child was John Wesley. 17th child is Charles Wesley. We know that those two ended to a great history of England, how the influence of New England, they came from the death of those two, went to the Oxford College, and how that George Whitefield, who came here in Connecticut, and here even Massachusetts, and he preached the gospel because of that faithfulness about the one woman, Susanna Wesley. And she lost to many other children, but only about, I believe, there was 10, the children was survived to become adulthood. But yet, how she went to struggle. But she has been faithful to God, raising all her children to walk with God. In the difficult time, and the Great Britain, that generation, 18th century. So we know that, you know, no matter what generation, what century we are in, 21st century, and that we have to be faithful to God in prayer. That when we do, God bless us, God, you know, to love us, that God keeps his church to continue expand the reaching out to community. This is the reflection. You know, the people want to talk about the church. One thing is very good about the church is how the people who attend the church in the community, how it becomes the beacon about the faith to the community, how the people see and to notice that. In the Island Pond Baptist Church, the people live in the, reaching out to community. How do they care? How they live different? So that is what the church is a witness. In Acts chapter 1, 8, the scripture says, when you receive the power from above, you shall be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So we are still in the missions in the community. Why did God start the church here? Why did God start our church in different places around the world? Because of the God see that the churches, the people of God, who love God, who has a faithful to God, are the one who remain to be, that we are the witnesses. Because the world we live in generation is a changes so much. It's so much changing. But we are not to be, you know, pointing the fingers to a government or to any other thing, just to, you know, point ourselves how we can live a life, be honest. How can we live by faith in God? How can we become faithful to God? This Holy Scriptures we have. This is what so many these days young people turn to God, be baptized, something happening these days. And that the generation ago, that you know, a lot of Christians, you know, we go to church, we have a service, two Sunday services. I was ordained first Dallas under Dr. Terry Criswell. And 49 years ago. And I saw that that generation, that time, 70s, we have a services. And some older people understand that what I'm talking about. And they were to have a service, the morning services, two morning services, and the Sunday night, and even baptism later. And so many things that happened, everyone even started church back in the 1980s. We do the evangelism in the community on campus. So many people out of five, our church grew within the 10 years for 500 people. It's not, you know, it's not just a number of people. Faces matter is the size of a church is measured by faith of a church member. The faith, what is important things. To be faithful to God and to Him alone, and then the God will bless His church, His people, because we are the children of God. As the parents that love the children, so God loves His children. He created in His own image. And that when we become the Christians, we become ambassadors of Christ. How God can use the church properly, and that's why He established the church in the community. That's all days they have about the one church in the community. They're called the clergy. The pastor is the most educated people in the community. So today is many churches, but the God has a purpose, plan, and that this church and they continue to be people. You are the one to be faithful. Faithful to your children, community, school, a job, whatever you do, always be faithful. Now I want to point out the one other thing we'll see. And the dad is to not only be honest, be faithful, but devoted. So Hannah, she was not only faithful, she devoted. She was a devoted person. Now I want to look at verse 27 and the talk about, and I say, therefore, have I lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is lent to the Lord. That is, she devoted. She made a commitment. She made a vow. She kept the promise that she want to keep it as her son to be until, while long as he lives, that he will serve the Lord. So that's what the look at the rest of First Samuel. You find that how Samuel, he was honest to the end. He didn't take anyone as a prophet. He was kept to God because of her mother's influence to him, who became the leader of a time of Israel history. That is how the children you are raising, how they can be changed, shaped to America because of your mothers and father. So we have a great responsibility as a parenthood, as a parents. So God has given us a children. The children is a gift from the Lord. And we are responsible to take care with love. That's why we go to work in the morning. That's what we got to do, educated. We got all these things because of the family is the most important. Long before the church was established in the New Testament, God started family from Adam and Eve in image of God. God foresaw the church, but through the family. Throughout the Old Testament, we find the family were people who lived in Noah, and that the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all through the history about the family. And then revealed that when the Christ came, and he died on the cross, and he saved for those who call upon the name of the Lord, and he rose from the dead, and he will be judged one day, and he's coming back. That's the Bible tells us all the story. How glorious the home, the heaven will be like that. Revelation chapter 21 and 22. It's just a glimpse what the heaven be like yet. If we, God tells everything, we not comprehend it. So only that we can understand the language and how that we can understand the compared to the world, the heaven is far greater. I just came back from Washington, D.C., officiated and provided and shared that memorial service. And I talk about the pilgrims in life. So we are the pilgrim. This world is not ours. Our home is over there. We are passing through this journey of our life and mingled on the journey as we come together as a building of the family of God and the church. And building up the people, got a job, community, all these things is what happening. Our home is not here. We are the pilgrim. How the 1620, that the group of small group of pilgrims landed Plymouth, that changed American history around the world about great children of the children. So we are in our generation changing future generation. So the church has a great responsibility and devoted. And here we find that Samuel, how she made it the commitment. She wanted to give her son. Are you willing to give your own son to the God's work? See, when I get discharged, when I from army, and then I came home, and one day I felt to go to college, and the University of Hawaii Hilo campus. And I felt the God's call back in the spring of 1973. I felt the God's calling me into ministry. So I told my mother, Mom, I really feel that God is calling me into ministry. Wow, her response was so overwhelmed. And she said, when you were army, I was always at the door waiting for your mail coming to the mailman to drop the mail. So I was always peeped to my curtain of the window, see that the mailman gonna be dropped the letter they coming deliver from me. So that the mothers are waiting, the sons, and then she was could not go to sleep because what gonna happen? My son going to Vietnam War. When I said, after getting graduating from college, I'm going to ministry, she said this to me, now I can sleep quietly. That's what the mother is. Mother wanted their sons, their daughters, they be happy to the work of God. Hannah, that's what she did then. And she wanted to give her son Samuel, that how Samuel changed the Israel history because of he was influenced by his dear mother, who was honest, who was faithful, who was devoted, giving herself. I want you to remember one thing. God himself gave up his own son, Jesus. He did. Jesus suffered to die on the cross. When I understood what the cross meant, I said, I want to trust Christ as Lord Jesus, my Lord. So a lot of people don't understand what cross is. America needs to go back to the cross of Jesus. Billy Graham, oftentimes he said at the crusade, he said, there's still one more room at the cross. Yes, there is still one more room at the cross. There is still one more seat in the church from the community they come together, worship to know Jesus Christ. So I want you to leave this message on Mother's Day. How important you that God sees and you are so special to care the children, not only your own children, the children in the community. And the children at the school, they are precious. Every children are precious in their parents' eyes. So we need to keep up our nation, America, back to the cross, back to the Bible. We need that our children, because the parents has a right for the children, not the government. And we are to keep up. Our church, we have a homeschooling for 50 kids. And that how our teachers doing that, the children raise their own children. So we need to have like a Hannah, who has really committed her son to the Lord's work. May God's blessing upon you this journey that you are in, community, beautiful church, beautiful family of God, such a loving, all these many years together. Isn't it wonderful to be here? Let's pray.